Non-rock a boatus must stop. I don't want to rock the boat. I want to sink it.
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy? Or are you going to bite?
Brett, delusional
is okay in your worldview. I'm an animal. You don't chastise chickens for being delusional. You don't chastise pigs for being delusional. So you calling me delusional using your worldview is perfectly okay. It doesn't really hurt.
She hung up on me.
Yes!
Oh!
Yes!
What? What?
Desperate times call for faithful men and not for careful men. The careful men come later and write the biographies of the faithful men, lauding them for their courage.
Go into all the world and make disciples. Not go into the world and make buddies. Not to make brosives.
Right.
Don't go into the world and make homies.
Right.
Disciples.
I got a bit of a jiggle neck. That's a joke, Pastor.
When we have the real message of truth, we cannot let somebody say they're speaking truth when they're not.
Take an amazing journey to a place that will blow your mind and move your heart so you will never be the same again.
For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now that's delicious. Right? Now that is some good stuff. Psalm 139, y'all. Don't tell me that God's not the creator of human life in the womb. Don't tell me that you're a Christian and you believe that abortion is a Christian virtue of sorts. Don't tell me that, Dr. Willie Parker. You lie. False prophet, false teacher. Are terms that are too endearing for you. One of America's current most prolific serial killers, Dr. Willie Parker. Yes, sir, you are a coward. You are a liar. You are a murderer. I do hope he hears this. You committed to doing a debate. University of Alabama is originally where it was set, and you backed out of it once you learned you'd be debating me. And that shows a level of cowardice that is beneath even a murderer like yourself. How many people have you killed, Dr. Parker? You don't really know. 20,000? 30,000? 40,000? You say even if it was 100,000, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a huge difference. I do hope you hear this, and I do hope that, Dr. Parker, you gather enough intellectual fortitude and courage to actually stand for your convictions, if you really do believe it to be a virtue. Debate offer is still open. We'll pay for everything. We'll pay for the venue. We'll pay for you to come out. We'll put you in a nice hotel. Pay for all your food. We'll take care of everything. I won't receive a dime. How's that sound? Nothing. I'll do the debate for free. You have nothing to add except your own self and your own thoughts. So there we go. Psalm 139 is opening the show. And obviously, from the opening of this show, you can tell what we're talking about today. Dr. Willie Parker, oddly, participated with Jesse Lee Peterson on his program. Very strange move, Dr. Parker. Very strange indeed.
I'm not sure that I've seen Stranger Things. Oh, wait.
Two was better. I like two.
I like two.
I thought two was excellent.
It was really good.
I
just
that episode 7 though.
Yeah,
that's what everyone talks weird. About.
Yeah, is everyone saying episode 7?
But I think it might be a setup for future stuff that happens in the show.
That's right.
Just saying.
But they're up to they're saying they're gonna do 5 seasons now.
There's 3 and 4 have been confirmed, and possibly a 5th.
Right on. Well, so we're back with the program that has been called Silly to Searing in Seconds. And that's what we do here, Apologia Radio. You can get more at ApologiaStudios.com. Tell your mama, invite your friends, share some episodes, partner with us by joining All Access. Get every TV show, after show, and Apologia Academy. Check out Apologia Studios on Facebook and on YouTube. We dropped a bunch of new stuff we think will be very, very helpful for you guys. In particular, check out the Losing Ireland documentary. It's already impacting the church in Ireland. Churches are gathering together to come together to speak consistently against those who seek the lives of children in Ireland. Ireland's one of the last standing historically Christian nations that has a ban against abortion, north and south. So praise God for that. And there are the cultural Marxist and the destroyers of all things good who are seeking to undo all that.
I didn't tell you, Jono told me that some church watched that film during their service the other day.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So I'm Jeff Durbin. They call me the Ninja, and that's Luke the Bear Pearson.
What up?
Joy the Girl.
Hello.
And on the ones and twos today is Carmen Chameleon.
He comes and goes.
He comes and goes.
He's probably muted right now, too, and he's not going to talk.
Comes and goes.
He wouldn't talk even if he wasn't muted.
He is our homeschool
He is a mute.
And he's very good at what he does. So, hey, let's talk today. We got some important stuff to talk about. So we're actually going to review Dr. Willie Parker. He, again, don't know how it took place, but he decided to jump into Jesse Lee Peterson's program. And as somebody who's been on Jesse Lee Peterson's program twice, I can say, bad move, Dr. Parker. Really bad move.
Now I know why, though, he won't debate you. After... We'll go through this, but now I know why, because he doesn't like to be put on the spot.
Right. And he is even worse at defending his position than I could have imagined. And I've listened to you, Dr. Parker, a lot. I've listened to your talk, your TED talk. I've listened to your talk, your public talks. I've read almost all of your book. And I will say that I do understand why you backed out of the debate, and makes a lot of sense. But the offer's still open if you have the courage to actually bite down and stand up for what you believe in. So, Joy, you did have an article. I'm not sure if you still have it pulled up. Did you want to talk about that? Okay. So Joy's going to introduce us to some fun, interesting news, and then we're going to actually play clips from Jesse Lee Peterson. We just think it's great for you guys to hear. Dr. Willie Parker admits a lot of things in this that I think are important to hear from his own lips. Joy?
Okay, so I was reading an article.
Yes.
I do that a lot. And I came across this article called "I Went on a Date with a Real Life Vampire and It Didn't Suck."
That's a very compelling clickbaity title.
So, just a quick question before we really get started here. When you hear the words "real life vampire," what would be the first question you'd have for that person?
Does he turn into a bat?
Could they fly? Do
oh
they
my
have
gosh!
Powers.
My first question was, do they drink blood?
Well,
I think they're all.
They never say that in the article.
Comparable questions.
Blood.
No, they never say it. Actually,
they don't.
So what
say
makes them a real life vampire?
Nothing that they put in the article. So I would like to informally invite him on the show. I don't even know his name, but if you're a vampire, please come on the show and tell us what actually makes you a real life vampire.
A real life vampire.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this girl went on a date with a vampire, a blind date. She didn't. Blind as a bat date. Little vampire humor for you guys.
did she know she was going on a date with
the
vampire?
She did. She said before the date that she didn't know really anything about vampires other than what she'd seen in Twilight.
Of course.
This date could totally suck.
You know. But, you know, she's fun. She's a fun, modern woman, and she wanted to
She's a woman
dress.
Of the time.
Right. I don't
know. Fine, modern gentleman.
And so she went on the date, and, we do know his name.
Oh.
Anthony
Was
Monte,
it count?
Monte Morano.
All right.
Was he a count?
Please, this is your official invitation to come on and tell us what makes you a real-life vampire.
What? Say the name again.
Anthony Monte Morano.
Sounds
Monte
like a vampire
Morano,
name.
I know.
That's a little bit.
Is that your
real
name?
Hello, I'm Anthony Monte Morano.
Is that your real name?
I'm
going
to suck your
one.
Blood.
One.
Okay, so the unfortunate part of all this.
Is his last name Chocula?
No.
That's unfortunate.
So he's in a coven. That explains a lot.
A coven?
Called the Sabretooth Clan.
Oh.
No,
so he's So if he's like in the movies, then maybe he's a saber-toothed tiger and then turns into a vampire.
I don't know. But his vampire name is Onius.
Onius.
It doesn't say...
Iron. Oh man, if you guys watch Gentleman Broncos, then you know exactly why. That's an amazing thing.
I'm finding it.
Onius.
So it never says that he drinks blood, but he is an avid wine drinker.
Okay.
And I'm assuming red wine.
You're not a real vampire.
I'm assuming I'm sorry. Red.
You can't float. You don't drink blood.
So here we go. He has three pet gargoyles, which also aren't real.
No.
And a taxidermy bat.
I'll get you a gargoyle.
Feel like any of those four things. You can own all the pet gargoyles.
I'll
in
get
the
you
world,
a gargoyle
which
by
aren't
3 o'clock.
Real. Which
hold
aren't,
on.
Gargoyles are made of stone. They're not alive.
I think that they sell.
They can't be your pet.
I think they sell gargoyles at what's that Christian store? The big
Korean family Christian.
No. They might actually, but all the home stuff. It's the whole
Hobby Lobby.
I think they sell gargoyles at Hobby Lobby.
So
you
probably got him there.
Yeah, maybe.
Live gargoyles?
I think I found the clip of him actually choosing his vampire name.
Oh, okay.
Here, let's listen.
Oh, okay.
As long as it doesn't play an ad verse. Need thou not okay.
Be afraid, for we can turn a humdrum, forgettable name like Nebuchadnezzar into something magical like this. Nebuchadnezzar. And it's that easy. We can add Onius, Inus, or Anus to just about anything, and it becomes magical. You, give me the name of one of your central protags.
Bronco.
What is he? A centaur?
No.
Does he shapeshift into equine form ever?
No, he's just a man.
Well then, I would lose the C immediately. And I'd replace it with an L, Bronlonius.
Oh.
If you guys haven't seen Gentleman Broncos, please run, sell your shoes and buy it.
Onius, that was the first one. Sorry, continue.
But yeah, so they went to dinner for some extra rare meat, which is not blood still, I'm just telling you. And he took out his fangs to eat.
That's not legit.
I know.
That's not. I'm not impressed.
His fangs were also. I mean, there's people out there that make fangs. Mm. It's weird. Mm. And then they had a glass of wine and went to the Museum of Death.
Mm.
Oh.
But anyway, I just feel like she didn't go on a date with a real life vampire.
No, that's just pure clickbait. See, clickbait is a problem when you. Lie.
Right.
See, if it's a compelling introductory title,
I don't care about
true.
The date. If you met a real life vampire,
yeah,
you'd have so many questions.
Yeah. Right. I wonder if he ate garlic on his steak.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he ordered without.
Mm.
But are you though?
I have no. I'm not sure of anything anymore. Right. People call them real themselves.
If you
real,
can say real life vampire,
if you call yourself a real life vampire,
right.
You have to drink blood.
Yeah.
At least. You have to drink blood.
And the thing is I've seen, like, covens. I don't know what covens.
Right.
Are. Covens of vampires, like, little videos of people like, we're vampires. And they drink, like, pig's blood.
You can't
like,
just say you're a vampire.
I think
and
all
then you're
of it
one.
Is evil. It's all an abomination.
Hey, guys, guess what? I'm a vampire now.
Right.
It will make no effect on the rest of my life. That's I just am one.
Right, right. That's you're just pretending. You're right. Just a big kid in big pants.
A big thing.
Actually, his pants are... Look, he looks like he'd wear really skinny pants.
I knew it.
Tight
I knew
leather
it.
Pants.
He's
I
just a hipster. That's
a real
all
life
it is.
Vampire is just a hipster with play teeth.
Mm.
Right.
That's all it is.
He's just a hipster.
Yeah, it's all evil anyways. But I'm telling you, if you're going to do it, be consistent. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong for saying
I don't know.
That.
I don't know anything about anything anymore.
Yep. Hey, so anything happened the last couple? Let's fill everyone in. What's up? Okay, so we'll talk about this, and then we're gonna go to a break, and then we're gonna go right into playing for you guys, Jesse Lee Peterson, and Dr. Willie Parker, on the Jesse Lee Peterson show. Listen to how many times you hear the. You could have like a drinking game, and use grape juice.
Oh my
care.
Gosh!
I don't care. Have a drinking game, and let's see how many.
If
times...
If you're a real life vampire, you should be using real blood.
That's
true.
Right. And so your choice. Whatever, we can use milk. It doesn't matter. And every time Jesse Lee Peterson asks you if you're the head of your wife, you take a shot of milk. Every time he asks you, or he says the word, amazing, you take a shot. Or every time he says, did you have fun?
Or I'm so excited.
Or I'm so excited. You take a shot of milk, okay? So anyway, we just got back from...
A shot of milk?
Yeah, you know, I'm
we're
just,
not promoting
I'm
drunkenness.
I'm doing my very best.
No.
I'm doing my very best.
I just feel like
we are highly opposed.
If it was alcohol, you'd be drunk before the intro was done.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, if you're lactose intolerant,
okay.
You're not.
That's why
make
I said grape juice.
Video.
Joy. That's why I said.
It could be like almond milk or something.
That's right. Soy.
Water.
No.
Where's the hydration?
By the time you finish listening, your belly will be full. That's all I'm saying. So, hey, we went to Moscow, Idaho. Hey.
We did.
Whenever I tell people I'm heading to Moscow, people are like, Russia?
Yeah.
You going to Russia? Moscow, Idaho.
Yep, just a quick weekend trip
yeah,
to
know.
Russia.
No
just
big
quick
deal.
Turnaround. No biggie.
Quick
So, yeah. So, went to Moscow, Idaho and brought our team up that is going to Kauai. We are really, it seems like, days away from shipping out our first families to Kauai to plant a church there. We're so very... So very excited.
I'm so excited.
So that's what's up. So December 11th is the leave date, and then January 21st is the first official date of worship on the island of Kauai. So very excited. We got to go out to Moscow, Idaho, and spend some time with Doug Wilson and his leadership. Got to have dinner at Doug's place with his family, which is always a real delight, and then had dinner the next night with him and his family again in their new building they bought.
Yes.
So just want to say I'm always super inspired when we get back from Moscow because Christ Church in Moscow, those people, we love them so much. They are so committed to excellence in their theology and the Christian faith and like they're hardcore post-millennialists. They want to see the world change because of the gospel. And you can see that in Moscow. So when Doug's dad got to Moscow, Idaho, a long time ago, he went there with a mission and a plan. It was like the biggest party school in the U.S. at the time. There was like gay bars on the main street. And now when you walk down that main street, there's like Christ Church owns this theater where they do worship. Then there's like New St. Andrews right there in the middle of the street. And then there's like, what's the name of the printing place? Cannon Press is the industry. Then all these believers from Christ Church own the businesses on the street. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Amazing.
That's amazing.
And if you're listening to this right now and you're immediately thinking, but didn't Doug, you're wrong. I'm just going to tell you you're wrong. Don't listen to the lies.
We love Doug. Why are you laughing?
I can't tell you.
Well, no, come on. Okay, now
I
you
seriously
now you
can't
okay,
tell you.
Okay,
it's
all right.
So embarrassing.
Oh no,
it's like super silly. Why am I?
Do you have an autocorrect, Phil?
You can't do that.
No.
You can't just start laughing. Say, I can't tell you what.
So you remember a few weeks ago there was that clamp your hams meme.
The clamp your hams.
Remember?
Oh,
and
yes.
I couldn't stop laughing about it.
Yes.
Well, so I just thought about it again.
You're so weird. If you're happy
it
and you know it, clamp your hams.
I don't know. Everyone's
It was
mouth.
A clamp on a ham.
Well, and we're sitting at the same table, and I think I just, like, I don't know.
Okay.
It's still funny.
So
that's
you
all
just
I'm
thought
saying.
Of it again? Is that what you're laughing at?
Yeah, I just thought about it and burst into
that wasn't that embarrassing.
Crying laughter.
Yeah.
No, it's just so silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
is.
It is.
All right. So we're going to be back, guys. Thank you for listening to Apologia Radio. So excited. About this episode. We're so excited. It's going to be amazing. And we hope you have fun. Right here on Apologia Studios. It's Apologia Radio. Sorry. Apologia Radio. Be right back, guys.
This is the Chocolate Knox. If you love that wonderful sensation of chewing glass, this is the show for you.
Cross Politic is a weekly show and podcast that mixes the taboo formula of faith, culture, and politics, proclaiming the lordship of Christ in every corner of our culture.
Hallelujah.
Gabriel Wrench is a deacon from Texas, and he wears overalls.
One time.
Chocolate Knox, a.k.a. Dave Shannon, he's a movie maker from Minnesota.
Action!
I'm Toby Sumter, pastor here in Moscow, Idaho, and I used to live in Alaska. Did you know that?
No.
No.
We've interviewed everyone from Alveda King to Ted Cruz to Steve Dace to Walter Williams, and we invite you to join us here at Cross Politic as we learn to fight, laugh, and feast, all to the glory of God. CrossPolitic.com.
Yeah.
for 21 years and counting, New St. Andrew's College has sought to obey Christ's great commission to disciple nations and build him a house, not just in Jerusalem, but throughout the world, not with stones and mortar, but with living stones. We build and fight. This is the task of a Christian liberal arts college, to equip students with the tools to build and fight. And this is our joyful task as we seek to graduate leaders who shape culture through wise and victorious living. To learn more, check us out online at nsa.edu/explore.
His blood red banner streams of power who follows in his train.
So one of the things that we got to do in Moscow was we get there late Wednesday night, and we've been planning this trip for years now. We said before we launch the team, we're going to take them to Moscow for inspiration and encouragement. So we get there late Wednesday night, and then I think we went to bed at like 12:30 or something like that. I don't know, it was late. And we had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning because we had to be at the elders meeting for Christ Church at 6 a.m.
Yep.
And so they do their elder meeting at 6 a.m., and I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that wise biblical decisions can be made at that time.
I don't think so either.
At 6 a.m.? So just a thought. But anyway, so that's what they did. And what we got to experience, which we love it. You see, because we're Reformed Baptist, but we're post-millennial. We believe in the victory of Christ's kingdom in the world. We believe in 1 Corinthians 15 straight away, just like it says. He's ruling and reigning now. He is going to put every enemy under his feet. And then the last enemy, after every other enemy is defeated, then the last one is death. So it's Jesus reigning, and then every enemy swept under his feet, and then death is done, and then there's final resurrection, all that. So we believe that, they believe that, they're Presby, we're Baptist, but we loved going in at 6 a.m., and the first song they sing is, what's it called again?
The Son of God Goes Forth to War.
The Son of God Goes Forth to War. We loved it. So we're like 6 a.m., barely awake, and it's like this song about putting Christ's enemies under his feet and crushing them, and it's like,
giving a bloody nose.
That's a wonderful thing, Joy. It was a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you keep saying we, like we all collectively went there.
Oh, no, Joy wasn't there.
No, I've never been.
Well, you will. Okay, Lord willing, but the next time we go, you're coming.
Listen, I did bring you a book fresh.
No, you did not.
Fresh off the press!
It was not warm. I decided yesterday that I want a literally hot off the press book.
You will come.
The new hipster trend.
I want it to be hot and fresh.
PH.
And, yes.
PH. Fresh.
We did.
I want to be able to feel the newness.
We did get Doug's new daily devotional hot off the press.
We did?
Literally.
I know. See, and the thing is that.
Chop, chop.
The thing is I told Luke, I really want a hot book.
It's like
and since then, he has continued to talk about how you guys already got one.
And let me just say, I can put it in a good analogy. You see, Canon Press. Why am I losing it? Canon Press is the Krispy Kreme of Christianity.
Right.
You go in, you get a hot donut right off the press.
Yeah.
You go get a hot book right off the press.
Hot books here.
Hot books.
I was telling Luke, I think that's going to be the new hipster trend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fresh books.
Hot, fresh
I don't want
books.
It unless it's fresh.
That's right. Fresh. Okay, so let me play for you a little bit of Jesse Peterson to set the stage, which makes it so interesting. Willie Parker will not come on my show, will not do a public debate with me, and I would treat him with respect on the show or on a stage in a debate. But he did choose to go on the Jesse Lee Peterson show, which is very interesting because I have been on the Jesse Lee Peterson show, both in my studio and in L.A. in Jesse's studio. And Jesse has asked me to come back, and I think I will. But you got to hear this to set the stage. I got to say, with as much love as I have for Jesse Lee Peterson, he is a cult leader, and he denies historic and confessional Christianity. The man is ultimately spiritually dangerous. I do have agreements with him in some areas in terms of law, but he denies that a person who is in Christ sins any longer and has some really strange views about the husband being the Messiah in the home. Just weird stuff.
Yeah.
Like, goes beyond, like, the head of the wife sort of stuff. But anyway, so if you watch Jesse Lee Peterson, then you know that he is some of the most cringeworthy content on YouTube. And as an example, I'm going to play for you just a little moment here from two pastors, a husband and a wife, on the Jesse Lee Peterson show. And this is Jesse Lee Peterson doing his thing.
In the bad times.
Are you the head of your wife?
Yes, I am. Is Christ ahead of us?
Mm-hmm. What does that mean to be the head of your wife?
It means I'm not physically ahead of her, like demanding. And I respect her as being my wife.
Right.
And not a doormat or a footstool to say, you know, you cook for me, you do laundry for me, you do this. No, I have to love her as Christ loved the church.
Does she naturally do those things for you? She cook and clean and do
that? Yes.
And if she didn't do it, because there are a lot of women who won't do that now, and these men are stuck with them, mm-hmm. how should they get their wives to cook and clean and do the things that a wife should do?
Submit
to the wife?
Hey, well, look at the pause. I got a pause. So I think in Jesse Lee Peterson's mind, like, being the head of your wife means she cooks and she cleans for you. Your face just now. Come on. All right. Input, please.
Stuck with them.
I can see Joy's face.
And the women won't cook or clean, and you're stuck with them.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's not loving to your wife.
No.
I get it. I'm a clean person. I like to cook. Some people, that happens for more normally.
Yeah.
Also, things change when you have four kids running around your house. Mm-hmm. Your energy for cleaning.
Like me, I do all the cooking in our house, right, kids? Imogen, Sailor? No?
I feel like that's not true.
Close your mouths. Okay.
So
did you say, I feel like that's not true? Yeah. I feel like that's not true.
I feel like that's not true.
I do all the cooking, don't I? And clean. Come over here.
They're
come
saying
over here.
No.
Come over here. My daughters are inside right now. Overdoing nothing on the couches. What are you guys doing? You just on your phones? I didn't invite you here so you can just watch Netflix all day.
The Wi-Fi, though.
Yeah, that's the Wi-Fi. That Wi-Fi, though. It's fast this time of day. And then 7 right. o'clock when we have to launch next week, it dies. Well, I'll wait for that. You guys come on over and then I'll...
So I don't think the proper perspective on your wife not being a good cook or a good housekeeper, especially if it's just for a season of her life, would mean that you're stuck with them. That would imply that you purchased them for their ability to cook and clean. And then it's like if you buy a chair and it doesn't work, then you're stuck with that chair.
I want my dowry back. Maybe, I want my dowry back.
Maybe he did.
It seems like you're kind of treating your wife like your cooking, cleaning object.
Lady. Okay.
Submit. The
what do you mean
the
by
wife,
submit?
The wife submit, the husband submit.
But what do you mean by, for the, what do you mean by submit? How does like, one submit?
It's like when the marriage is a partnership, okay? She can't do more than me and I can't do more than her. What I mean, we got to bring equal to the table. I know my role, she know her role. And a lot of people now, you know, they say, you know, the woman have to be beneath you. But that's not how Christ wanted. You would not get the best results that way. You know, you would get rebellious.
Marry her, did you know that she was willing to cook and clean?
Yes.
Because you guys discussed that prior, right?
Yes.
Right. That's what a lot of guys and ladies don't do during the dating period. They do not discuss those things. And then when they get married, it brings conflict because now they're not functioning well. Mm-hmm.
Because basically, you know, I come from a home that my mom and dad are still together.
Right.
You know, they're still married over 40 something years. So I know what it looked like to have a Proverbs 31 woman. I know what it is to have a father in the home. Vice versa, she did also.
You had your father and mother in the home?
Yes, I did. Yeah. And I would like to, you know, just inject that a strong marriage is more than just cooking and cleaning.
Yes.
You know, some women are not good at cooking, and the men are very good at cooking.
Amen.
And you got to come to agreement. Some men rather cook, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's all in coming to agreement and learning to communicate with your partner. You got to work together.
Yes.
You got to talk. You got to trust each other.
Mm-hmm. So you agree that Maurice is the head of you?
He has been ahead, and I put him there because I know my place, and I know where God has put me, and
you
he is the head of the household, not the head of me. He's the head of the household. He's the one that will lead and guide and protect and take care of the household for us.
So he's not the head of you.
Christ is the head of me.
But your husband is supposed to be the head.
And he is the head of the household. And I follow him as he followed Christ.
Amen.
And my children follow us.
Right.
They follow us. Yeah. We set the example.
So let me just ask, mm-hmm. Did you know you're not the head of your wife, but the house?
Oh, yes.
You knew that?
But
you just told me you're the head of your wife.
But this is the thing. As the word kicking. That's why, brother, we got
to
keep the scripture.
Jesse?
Yeah. Does he think he like caught them?
It's his thing. He always asks anybody that professes to be a Christian. It's only like two subjects. He says, "Are you the head of your wife?" And he says, "Do you still sin?" That's all the interview is. In my interview, he had already done that with me, my second one.
Right.
So he did give like at least 15, 20 minutes to the End Abortion Now stuff. And then it was like right back at it. Let's go.
Well, I don't know. Like, they just very clearly answered all of his questions. And it's like he tried to like turn it around and trick them.
And he won't stop. Watch.
Except
he's trying to get them to say
cringe.
He has like such low blood pressure that
right.
it doesn't. That's why I asked, because he seems like he's trying to, like, trick them, but
it keeps going. Like, you're going to hear, this is how, like, they just turn into, like, cringe videos.
But what does the scripture say you're the head of your wife or you're the head of the house?
It says the man is the head.
Of what?
Okay. Is the head basically over the church?
No. What did
the wife.
So did the Bible say you're the head of your wife or the head of the house?
The head of the house.
No, the Bible doesn't say that?
Me included. The children.
No, but what does the Bible say?
He's the head.
Of what?
He's the head of the household.
The Bible doesn't say that.
What does it say?
Man is the head of his wife as Christ mm-hmm. is the head of man.
That's right. Fine.
But you guys saying that he's the head of the house, and mm-hmm. you said he's not the head of you.
Well, the way you word it, but he's the head of the house in all of us.
But that's not scripture.
He leads us.
That doesn't work.
So that's I just give you a little sampling there, because that goes on. This interview is 35 minutes long. And let me just say, it gets worse. It gets worse.
Well, I don't think they're disagreeing, but he's making it seem like they're disagreeing.
Well, in a sense, she does start to push against, like, he's
okay.
ahead of me. So, and so that's interesting. He pulls it out.
All right.
He uses it like a bat. He doesn't stop. And it's like, what's the purpose of this interview? Like, it just, all of them, like, devolve to that. So the next is, I just want to give you background here, okay? Just a little background. So you can understand, like, what Dr. Willie Parker walked into. We're going to play that for you guys here in just a moment. But this is my second appearance on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It's called The Fallen State. And this is where we were in the studio. There is 25 minutes that's already gone by here. He's come out of commercial now. And now he's coming back into the same conversation that we had just had previously. Here it is. This is the same thing.
This is my first time seeing it. This morning, weird.
Did you have fun? That's your after you give a 30-minute cringe-worthy interview and lay into somebody, you go. But did you have fun? Is that right?
Well, I ask at the end of every interview on the TV show, did you have fun?
Yes, because I saw one recently where I was squeezed up the whole time while I was watching it because you were laying into some people. Did you have fun?
It doesn't feel like laying into me. It just feels like conversation.
Yeah, that's just who you are. I get it.
This is Pastor Jeff Durbin. What's your website?
Apologiaradio.com, APOLOGIA radio.com. That's our TV show, radio show and stuff. But endabortionnow.com is the site for gathering the church across the United States to speak into this issue consistently.
And I was talking to you just before the break, prior to the break, about sin.
Yep.
And you say you still sin. What type of sins do you commit?
Well, Jesus says, love God, love neighbor. He said that all the law and the prophets are built upon that. And all of the law, all the little parts and pieces of the law are extensions of love for God and love for neighbor. They're just fleshing out what it means to love God, love neighbor. And so fundamentally, you and I and everybody who knows God and does not love God perfectly with their heart, soul, mind, and strength, or love their neighbor as they love themselves perfectly. Evidence of that is throughout the New Testament, but I would say specifically 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, starting there, he says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There's that walking in darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, that's present tense, by the way, it's speaking to Christians. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Well, really it says if we say we have not sinned.
No, if we say we have no sin.
No. Of course, the Bible has been each generation down through the generation is perverting the Bible by rewriting the Bible in their own image based on what's happening in the culture.
Well, that's interesting.
But if it says we have not sinned, and we all have sinned, and that's why we need to repent and be born again.
The problem
is that... I still want to know what type of sins do you commit.
Well, let me just address that real fast if I could, Jesse. The problem is in how you just quoted that. It's in the present tense in the Greek. Because he says right after that, just
I know,
to show
but
you.
The reason we are repenting because we are sinners. We recognize that we are sinners,
yeah.
And we realize we are wrong, so we repent from that.
Yeah.
And then once you're born again of God, there's no need to keep repenting because you're not, from that point forward, you're not sinning.
Well, I would say that the Apostle John would disagree with you there.
John now?
Where is John?
No.
He's with Jesus. That's right. He would disagree with you in 1 John chapter 1. He says in the present tense, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, present tense, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Also, I would encourage you.
What type of sin do you commit because of time?
Any sin, not loving my wife exactly the way God calls me to, being selfish, being prideful, those are all sins with a high hand against God.
So when you were born again,
Yeah. Nothing
changed?
Oh, no, yeah, absolutely.
You were
I used to be a drug addict.
You were a sinner prior to the repentance. And after you repent, you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner, right?
Born from above, just like you, Jesse.
So let me ask. You were a sinner prior to your repentance.
Yeah.
Repenting, right? And so after you repent, you're still a sinner. So what changed?
Well, I would say Ezekiel 36, new heart, the law of God placed within me. I would say what Jesus says, born from above. Ezekiel 36, God puts a new heart within you.
And what's your new heart?
Well, the text says in Ezekiel...
Because you said you're still a prideful person, you don't love your wife perfectly, you're still sinning.
I hate my pride.
So it sounds like you have the same heart.
No. My old heart would have loved my pride and would have been fine with it. My new heart despises my pride. It despises my selfishness. My new heart desires to love God and to pursue holiness. My new heart repents. And it repents because of the grace of God, because he's there.
But if you are still a sinner, because of time, I can't keep harping on that.
Yeah.
So let me ask, how do you explain 1 John where it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his nature remains in him, God's nature, and cannot sin because he is born of God.
That's right. That was first. It was the reference for that is?
John. 1 John 3:9.
1 John 3:9. Okay. Well, I would say you need to read 1 John chapter 1, where he specifically addresses the fact that Christians do sin presently, and they need to confess their sin. And the text there in context...
He doesn't say Christians sin.
Well, I would say we need to read John...
It does not say that Christians sin.
Well, this is the danger of reading the Bible by proof text. You need to read the Bible in context. And in 1 John chapter 1, he lays down that Christians do sin. And he would actually...
It doesn't say Christians
sin. I would say this, Jesse,
sin.
With love and grace to you and respect... He would identify what you say as the truth is not in you.
Right. If you're a sinner, then the truth is not in you because
you're
of your...
No, I was saying, when you identify, when you say that Christians don't sin and we have no sin, he says the truth isn't in you.
But you're missing it up.
So there you go.
Does he think that, does he think that you just don't sin anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah,
or he thinks that the bad stuff you do isn't considered sin.
No,
you're saved.
No, he legitimately thinks he doesn't sin anymore.
Right.
Well, but he does.
Yeah, he does. He did in the show, and I said that to him near the end of the show. I said, "I can prove to you that you've sinned on the show today," and he was like, "How?" And I said, "Well, because God says, 'Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens.'" And I started saying, "God's word's not going to change, you know, and God preserved his word." and you're saying, because he goes against the scripture again. I keep giving him scripture, and he says, well, it's been twisted and mistranslated. Basically, the same move all cultists do. When their doctrine doesn't fit the scripture, they say the Bible's been mistranslated, right?
So he seriously, he doesn't break. He thinks and claims that he does not break any part of God's law.
He does think that, yes.
He never thinks angry thoughts about someone while he's driving his car.
I told him, I said you have a very low view of the holiness of God to think that you don't sin.
Well, I just, that's a shame.
Yeah, right. And I said, you called God a liar on this broadcast. I said, I'll prove to you that you've sinned on the broadcast today. I said, you called God a liar. You say that his word hasn't been preserved, but he said he would preserve it. So you called God a liar and you sinned. And that is up on our channel, guys. Jesse Lee Peterson, Jeff Durbin. Check it out on our channel. You guys can hear the whole thing. Take a quick break, guys. Come back, and we are playing through some important parts of the Jesse Lee Peterson, Dr. Willie Parker broadcast. We will be right back. What's up, y'all? This is Jeff Durbin with Apologia Radio at apologiaradio.com. Want to talk to you guys about an amazing connection that we have right now with Whitfield Theological Seminary. I want you to run over to whitfield.edu, whitfield.edu, whitefield.edu. I want you to check out the programs they have. They have undergraduate programs at Whitfield College, and they also have Whitfield Theological Seminary for the graduate degree and above and beyond. I think you'll really be impressed with the rigorous nature of the classes, the consistent biblical worldview taught and adhered to. I want you to contact Whitfield Theological Seminary at whitfield.edu. Get a hold of our friend, Dr. Kenneth Talbot, and start your classes today. ApologiaRadio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, beauties and beasts, I have some good news for you. But in order for me to tell you the good news, I must share with you the bad. A beard can be a most magnificent thing, but it can also be the downfall of a man. An unmaintained beard prevents a face from shining. An unmaintained beard causes dry, itchy skin. An unmaintained beard is a source of beard drift. You know, like dandruff, but beard drift. An unmaintained beard is sharp and ruthless, like iron bristles. Not good for the lady friend. An unmaintained beard forfeits future growth based on the lack of preparation today. And let's not forget that an unmaintained beard robs your face from smelling amazing. Let not thy beard be thy downfall. Protect your manlyhood. An epic combination of manliness and manhood. If you are hearing this today, there is hope for your beard. Go to ucosbeard.com and enter the code APOLOGIA, and you can save some money while you save your face.
Look, you kids. All right, guys, here we go. We're going to come right into talking about Jesse Lee Peterson, Dr. Willie Parker on the fallen state. Did you have fun, Pastor Luke?
So excited.
All right. So here we go, guys. So this, again, is confusing to me how it ever happened at all. Dr. Willie Parker says, we can't play the whole thing, but he says in here that like he came on the show without knowing anything about Jesse Lee Peterson.
Yeah, that's crazy.
First mistake. So would have been a good idea. I'm sure he'll never make that mistake again. I'm sure he will, from now on, look up who he agrees to be on the show with.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so here we go.
Convicted me around what it meant to be a woman's health care provider and to be a Christian, which ultimately led me to conclude that there was nothing doctrinally or specific about abortion in sacred texts, whichever one you're talking about, nor was there anything that prohibited women from having control over their lives and their bodies to make the same decisions that men are entitled to make as moral agents.
That's amazing. How is abortion a health care procedure?
So when a woman has a pregnancy...
Did he just...
Yeah.
He just compared...
Yes, he did.
So men will never need to have abortion rights.
Right.
So we're clear, right?
Right. Men are never in a situation where they have to make the decision to kill another human being that relates to their own body.
So you can't say...
They've
had all these healthcare rights for forever. Mm-hmm. We're just trying to make it equal.
Right, over their own bodies.
On that issue, they will never... I mean, I suppose we could give men... Mm-hmm. We could legalize abortion for men, but like what?
he says later in this episode, and maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't, that Peterson asks him, do you believe that the father has a right to decide whether or not his baby is killed? And Parker says no. Mm-hmm.
Right, of course.
He essentially argues it's not his baby.
Right.
And Peterson is just dumbfounded. You're saying it's not his baby? When does it become his baby? Like, and he basically, Parker's idea is, well, when it comes out. Mm-hmm. That's when it comes.
Well, but I don't, like, there's no inequality on this issue because there's no healthcare in this way.
Right.
Healthcare, air quotes there.
Right, air quotes.
For men.
Right.
So you can't make it an issue of equality because this is not a type of healthcare, air quotes,
right,
that a man will ever...
Right. And it's equivocation because it's saying, like, well, men have the right to make decisions with their own body for healthcare needs, so we're just making sure women have those same rights, too. Neglecting the obvious fact, Dr. Parker, that what we're talking about inside the womb is another human being, and you agree that it is a distinct human being. Other than the mother. And so, yeah.
Well, yeah. We're okay with a woman doing what she wants to her own body.
I think women should be able to cut their own arm off if they want.
I mean, it's not like...
It's stupid.
It's not a great choice, but...
It's unwise.
It's your own body.
You can do what you want with your own body. Perfectly fine with that.
So it's already equal.
Yeah, it is equal. It's just a way of equivocating and making sure this man can continue his reign of terror on children.
That affects her health, or that she decides to end, if she doesn't have an opportunity to end it safely, anything that risks or ends your, that poses a risk to your health is a healthcare issue.
But it's not a health.
And let's make sure that we throw into this, Dr. Parker, that less than 2%, less than 2% are a category of life of the mother and rape and disability, those sorts of things, less than 2%. So that's 98% have nothing to do with what you're talking about.
It's a healthcare issue for the baby, the unborn child, and that you're killing the baby. So I don't know how that is a healthcare issue for the child.
Well, one of the things that when people describe abortion that way, of calling abortion murder, or they call a developing pregnancy a baby, what they're telling me is that they have a certain understanding about what a baby is or about what they think healthcare is. If we're going to be precise in our language, baby is a cultural term. It's not a scientific or a medical term. And before, you're not a baby before you're born. You're entitled to say that you don't believe that women should have abortion. But because of our laws, you're not entitled to block a woman from having an abortion, or you're not entitled to force a woman to agree with your definition.
Aren't you taking a life inside the womb? Aren't you taking a life?
Actually, a pregnancy, when you do an abortion, yes, a pregnancy does end a life. So but does it end
so
a
you
person?
So you are killing an unborn child if you're taking a life. You're not taking the life of an animal. You're not taking the life of the woman, so you're taking the life of a child. Isn't that right?
I disagree with you.
You are killing an unborn child, right?
I'm not killing an unborn child.
You're taking
I'm
the life of an unborn child.
I'm ending a pregnancy.
But does that require you to take the...
Check out again the obfuscation via euphemism. I'm ending a pregnancy. Right. That's the state that you're talking
did
about.
Did he say... Maybe I heard him wrong. Maybe... But it sounded like he said, I'm ending a life, not ending a person?
Yes.
Yes.
That's exactly
but
right.
But in
is
a moment,
that
it's going to get deeper. From his perspective, to obfuscate, yes, that's different.
So if a murderer said, someone who killed a person that's not in the womb, said, oh, well, I didn't end a life, I just ended a life, not a person.
Well, that's what the Nazis did.
Right.
They did that. They said, I'm not killing a person, it's a Jew. Right? This isn't murder, it's a Jew.
Right.
It's a disgusting Jew. That's what they would have said. So it's just obfuscation via euphemism. Use a euphemism to get away from the reality that you have to face. And so he says, I'm ending a pregnancy, not killing an unborn child. Well, pregnancy is a state that has resulted because of an unborn child, because of a human being in the womb. So it's a state of being, I'm pregnant, and it's a pregnancy. So he has to use a euphemism in order to get around what he knows is true, which you're going to hear right now. This is what he says.
It's interesting too, because he says, "Well, that's just a cultural term, baby." He's trying to be like scientific about it. It's like, well, science doesn't refer to that entity as a pregnancy either. Like you said, that's the state. It's not
right. Well, yeah.
what it is.
And scientifically, he's going to go where it is scientifically in a second. It's a human being.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it is. Watch.
For the child that's in the woman's womb.
I don't define a pregnancy as a child. And I'm like, let's say,
it have a life. Is it a living?
It is a living entity. It is a life. It is a human being because women don't have puppies. So, but it is not a baby. And if it were a baby.
There you go. So it is a human being. So Dr. Parker admits that it's a life and that it's a human life. So he is, by his own admission, and this is important, he is killing a human life in the womb. Now, he just thinks that he's allowed to kill the innocent, defenseless human life that's in the womb.
Right.
That's his perspective.
For a bunch of reasons that don't make sense and are bad arguments.
Very bad arguments. And so, mark it down, friends, brothers and sisters, listeners.
Oh, I wish that he would come on.
I know.
I wish that he would.
Mark it down. We got to try that. Mark it down. Dr. Willie Parker admits that he's taking a life. He admits that it's a human being because human beings don't give birth to puppies. And he's exactly right. So I'm very, very thankful. As much as I have problems with Jesse Lee Peterson and his theology, as much as he is a cult leader, Jesse Lee Peterson did do a good job of really compressing all this and making him answer for it. So good job, Jesse.
It would be a person, correct?
So the reality
let me finish.
So the reality is you are taking a life.
So do you want to have a dialogue, or do you want to let me answer your question, or do you want to answer my question?
Answer the question about are you taking a life?
Okay. Yes, an abortion ends a life. Now, what I asked you was, you're saying a pregnancy is a baby, right?
It's an unborn child.
It's an unborn child. Okay. Yes. So if I kill a child, that's murder, right?
You mean when there's
if I kill a child,
yes.
You say, okay, so if I'm killing a child, if I'm doing an abortion in an abortion clinic, if you call the police, will they come and arrest me?
They won't because of the law.
Why?
But that still
what
doesn't
does
take
the law
away,
say?
That still doesn't take away the fact that you're taking a life. And we both agree that you are.
So isn't it interesting? He says, as an argument for his position, well, if it's murder, if it's killing an unborn child, then how come the police aren't coming to arrest me?
Right.
That's a horrible argument. I'm sorry, Dr. Parker. Imagine saying that. Imagine saying that during the time of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this is so immoral, how come I'm not being arrested?
Mm-hmm.
If it's so immoral to kidnap and enslave a black person, then how come I'm not being arrested? Looks like your argument's failed because I got all kinds of black people, and kidnapped all of them.
Plus, if the laws do change and do outlaw abortion, he's not going to be using that same argument.
No. And it just goes to show that this is some of the worst argumentation for abortion that can be imagined. But he gives it. And he's a hero of the left, and he's a hero of Planned Parenthood. Cecile Richards wrote the foreword, I believe, to his book on life's work, A Moral Argument for Choice. So, and this is the best he's got.
In a life.
Correct.
Do you believe that human beings are in a fallen state?
No.
You do not, and why not?
Because I think that it requires a biblical literalism, and it requires an understanding that says that everybody is immoral and that they have to be redeemed in some way. I have a different understanding and a different significance of what the life of Jesus Christ meant.
You grew up in the South, you were a Christian, you believed at one point that we were in a fallen state due to sin, and we needed to repent.
I had that understanding.
Yes. What changed your mind about that?
What changed my mind is I understand that the Bible is a sacred text and that I don't approach the Bible literally as the Word of God. There have been too many translations. Do you speak Aramaic?
No.
Do you speak Hebrew?
I don't.
Or do you speak Greek?
I don't.
Those were the original texts of the Bible, right?
Right.
The Bible's been translated into English, right?
Right.
You can have different versions, even in English, there are different translations. That doesn't mean that the Bible's not significant as sacred text, but it means, do you have to approach the Bible as being literally true? I don't.
So you grew up in Alabama.
So let's talk about that.
Why you call yourself a Christian?
So the reason he doesn't accept the story of the fall and the need for redemption is because he doesn't take the Bible literally, which means that he doesn't take the Bible seriously. That's what it means.
Right.
I don't take the Bible literally means I don't take it seriously from his perspective.
I don't like some of the stuff that's in there.
Right.
So I don't like it.
And
it's just been mistranslated.
And by the way, of course, we don't interpret the Bible literally everywhere. When the Bible says that, when Jesus says that he's the door, We're not looking for a knob and hinges. When it says that our God is a consuming fire, we don't mean that he's a blast furnace. And when God says that he will cover you in the shadows of his wings, it doesn't mean that God has feathers. So, of course, we look at the genre, we look at the type of writing, we understand metaphor, we understand simile and parable, all that stuff, poetry. However, when the Bible is speaking literally, it's speaking literally. Like, for example, when Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, it doesn't mean eat your neighbor.
Right.
That's, you know, speaking literally, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And when the Bible is giving you historical narrative, you read it as historical narrative. But what this means here is, of course, that Dr. Parker is acting like many cultists do and people who want to deny the authority of Scripture. Is he's saying, I don't like the Bible. I don't like what God says in particular places, and so I'm not going to believe it. And when you say, well, why is that? He says, well, the Bible's been translated. It's like, you know, all these different translations. Fine. Now, Jesse Lee Peterson may not be able to read the Greek text, but we have the Greek text, and right. we can read directly from it.
Right.
So if you don't like an English translation, Dr. Parker, well, I would encourage you to do an online course studying Koine Greek.
I wonder if he takes thou shalt not murder literally.
And I think in some instances he would when it involved, say, his family.
Mm-hmm.
But he wouldn't in terms of the baby. It's interesting, too. I saw him giving one talk, and his wife was about to give birth, I think when the talk was happening, and he referred to it as a project, not a child or a baby. He kept referring it to as their project.
You don't take it literally when it's time to get paid, I tell you that.
Yep.
I believed at one time that we were sinners who need to repent.
Absolutely.
What in the Bible did you read that said to you, no, that's not true? Okay. Did you read something in the Bible that changed your mind?
No,
or you
it was
just
how I chose to read the Bible that changed.
And how
and
did
so
you chose?
The Bible as a text can't reference itself.
So you decide that I'm going to read the Bible and change my mind that we are in a fallen state?
I decided that I was going to read the Bible and decide, how does the Bible speak to me and how does this Bible speak to us today, and so that it has relevance to us today? The Bible doesn't speak about traffic on the 405, right?
Not that I'm
no,
aware.
Right. So how I behave on the 405 can be derived about what principles I say the Bible teaches me in terms of how I should interact with other people, right?
But what I'm not getting, what was it? How did you make up your mind?
What he means is he's the infallible interpreter of the Bible.
Yep.
He determines what the Bible means. And actually, you know, you're right, Dr. Parker. The Bible is not a textbook on all things science. It's not a textbook on how to behave on the 405, and it doesn't name the 405. But yes, it does give you principles. One of those principles is thou shalt not murder. That's a principle.
Yep.
And that the baby in the womb is image of God. That's a principle. And that runs throughout the Scriptures, and it runs, of course, in and out of our lives. And so you're denying the very thing that you say you hold to, and that is that you take from the Bible these principles and you apply them to your life, which is what you ought to do.
And what wasn't in the Bible that confirmed what you thought about the fallen state and about sin? Can you cite me one thing that said you're not a sinner or you're not in a fallen state? Was there something specific in the Bible that told you that?
No.
So you just made up your own mind about that?
No. Well, in accordance to Romans 12, you're absolutely right. I did make up my own mind where Paul said that every person needs to be persuaded in their own mind. If you may recall in the Bible, in the book of Romans, where people in the church were bickering about whether or not you literally should eat meat or herbs, Paul said, you interpret the Bible according to being fully persuaded in your own mind.
I'm sorry, no.
That's not even what that says.
No. And not Romans 12, Dr. Parker, it's Romans 14. And here's what Romans 14 actually says. It says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Here it is, the one you mangled, Dr. Parker. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it to honor the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Now, what does that mean?
That was about vegetarians, right?
Vegetables and meat and observing days. And I'm not judging you. I'm not going to pass judgment. You stand or fall before your own master. That's the point. That's the point. Hey, that's what Dr. Parker, that was one of the most malicious mangling of God's text of God's word that can possibly be imagined. You just said that you're allowed to interpret the Bible however you please because Romans 12, you said, it's 14, says that you have to be convinced in your own mind. But yet, when you read that text, it has nothing to do with interpreting the Bible however you please. It has to do with particular practices, whether you eat meat or you don't eat meat or you observe one day over another, and you stand or fall before your own master, because the point is that whatever you're doing, if you're doing it to glorify God, then you're doing it to your own master. It has nothing to do with saying, I don't have to listen to God's word in a particular place because my interpretation is different. Mm. Here's how you know Dr. Parker doesn't believe what he says. If I was to say, Dr. Parker, I believe the Bible says that I am to beat my neighbor. I'm supposed to abuse my neighbor. And that's why I abuse my slaves. Because it tells me that I am actually supposed to terrorize people. I'm supposed to kidnap people and hurt people. And I get that from the Bible. That's my interpretation. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Dr. Parker would be a Bible literalist at that point. Mm-hmm. And he'd begin pointing to texts in the Bible that talk about respect for the image bearer of God, love for another, sacrifice for another. I think at that point, he'd be a Bible literalist. Mm-hmm. He would. Dr. Parker quotes the Bible when it's convenient yep. for him. He ignores texts, mangles texts of the Bible in order to make it convenient for him to live the life that he's decided to live, which is a life that consists of traveling to destroy human beings.
Right.
He says in his book, he compares himself to a modern Apostle Paul, and that he is like Paul, who's on a circuit, going to preach the good news. Dr. Parker thinks he's preaching the good news of abortion, and he thinks he's doing God's work.
I'm sorry, but ew.
Very
like,
much.
I really mean that. Like, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but that makes my stomach turn.
That's an appropriate ew.
Yeah.
Possibly you could be wrong now.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Is it possible that you could be wrong?
No, absolutely
okay.
not.
Okay, so, that's where we differ. You can't imagine how you can possibly be wrong, and I question myself all the time.
See, here's where Jesse Lee Peterson's cult-like tendencies destroy him and make him look here like completely asinine. Because when you say, I can't be wrong, period, I can't be corrected, then you just look like an arrogant, prideful, haughty person.
Right.
And Dr. Parker looks like this wonderful example of a person who's willing to believe truth. What you really ought to say is, I can only be proven to be wrong if I contradict the absolute standard,
right.
the objective standard outside of myself. So I only know that I'm right or wrong based upon the objective revelation of God's word. So, yeah, somebody could say, can you be wrong? I would say, about what? About what? If they said, well, can you be wrong about Jesus? I would say, well, I can only be wrong about Jesus if what I say contradicts what Jesus says about himself. However, I know that I'm not wrong about the fact that Jesus, say, is eternal God, because the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, that he has existed for all eternity alongside the Father, and that he is God, and that God became flesh and dwelt among us. So things like that. Yes, we can be wrong if it's demonstrated through the objective revelation of God.
That's amazing.
Tara said,
I would if I were you.
And if I were you, I would question myself too.
Let me do this.
Have you ever changed your mind about anything?
I have.
Okay. And why don't
But that's why I'm
but
glad
in
that
order
you
for you
at least
to change
questioned
your mind,
it.
You had to think about their other possibilities, right?
That's why I'm glad that you're at least thinking about what the way you feel about Christianity and abortion now and sin and all that, because you are wrong. And by you thinking about it, maybe you get back on the right track.
Let me say to you, I'm absolutely comfortable with the fact that you think I'm wrong.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
I am so excited. I can't believe it. Finally, the fall estate.
So that's a commercial there. I got to just get past that. Here we go.
Our spirituality for ourselves. I am certain that I am clear with my relationship with my creator and God, and that I stand before my God with the acceptance of my God, and that I don't have to open it to your scrutiny or anybody else's.
But that's not an answer. What is it about you?
It's not the answer that you want.
What is it about you that made you think today that you are a Christian? What is it
about you that allows you to question that?
What is it about you?
What authority do you hold the question at?
Well, I'm interviewing you. I'm trying to get some
information. That doesn't give you authority. And I'm giving you the information that you don't have the right to question that. If you ask me if I'm a Christian and I say yes, how are you going to tell? How are you going to verify that I am or not?
So how many postmodernists does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Yeah, that's excellent. That's excellent. So there is a way, by the way, and this is just the danger of Jesse Lee Peterson and his being essentially a cult leader is it's based upon subjectivity ultimately. Whereas in the scriptures, you do have acid tests for how you know somebody's a Christian, which is what I would say to Dr. Parker. I would say, Dr. Parker, don't you know that there's an acid test for how we know whether or not you're a believer in God, a true believer? How about Isaiah 8:20? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no light in them. In 1 John, the Bible teaches that, well, 2 John. There you go, 2 John verse 9. This is an acid test right here. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. There's an acid test. So if Dr. Parker was to ask me, how do you know that I'm not a believer? I would say, based upon what you say. You say that a person can kill their baby in the womb, that murder is perfectly acceptable in that instance. You say that you don't have to accept the word of God literally where it disagrees with you. And the Bible gives you acid tests. That's how I know you're not a Christian, Dr. Parker, because of your fruit, the fruit of your life, and what you say about God. That's how I know.
Yep.
Are you that can convince you that you are a Christian?
Well, there's nothing about me that can convince you that I'm a Christian.
I'm asking you that.
I don't question that. You
because
do.
You haven't given me anything.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't given you anything to your satisfaction. You can't look into my heart and tell me what's there.
That's you why I'm asking you not. About your heart.
Well, I don't.
Except Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so the truth is, Dr. Parker, yes, we do know what's in your heart because you told us.
Murder.
That's the thing. You can't tell me what's in my heart. I can when you told me, when you revealed it and you opened your mouth and you told me what you thought about babies in the womb and murder and the word of God, I can tell you what's in your heart because you told me. Mm-hmm. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
I don't go around telling people what's in my heart because I can't say that to your satisfaction.
So
I'm never going to question yours. It could be questionable about what makes you think that you're empowered to question the spiritual the spiritual state of somebody else. Don't you think that's kind of arrogant?
No, and presumptuous? I'm trying to get a better understanding of why you do the things you do.
Okay. I do the things I do because I believe that my conscience dictates what I should do, and I'm doing what I believe to be right.
Do you have?
Let's do it. Because let's hear it.
That's
again.
Not in the Bible.
Let's do it again.
Kind of arrogant?
No, I'm trying to get a better understanding of why you do the things you do.
Okay. I do the things I do because I believe that my conscience dictates what I should do. And I'm doing what I believe to be right.
Do you have
my conscience dictates what I should do.
It is.
So how about the thief? I know that's not my TV, but it's not the case that it's not my TV. How about the molester?
Slave owner.
How about the slave owner? They're just doing what their conscience dictates. How about the person? How about this? How about the person that is abusive to women, Dr. Parker, doing what their conscience dictates? They were raised maybe in a particular circumstance where it was right to treat women like dirt. They were raised in a circumstance where they didn't respect women and care for women and love women and uphold women. And that's what their conscience dictates. And they're just doing what their conscience dictates. If that's the standard, you have no argument against anybody in a jail cell right now who's bickering over the fact that they're in a jail cell. Because they're just doing what their conscience dictates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how about the father of the child you're about to abort that raped the mother?
Just doing what his conscience dictates.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to meet your approval.
Let me ask, speaking of consciousness, do you have the mind of God or Satan?
That was just a dumb question, Jesse Lee Peterson.
he finds a way to sneak a dumb question in every show.
That was an interesting... He was said or, and then he kind of paused, and I was like, what's coming? And I was like, oh, all right.
He did it.
Okay.
You were doing so well, Jesse. You were doing so well.
You're asking me non-questions, because if I say I believe that I have the mind of God, you're going to say, well, how do you know? If I say I believe I have the mind of Satan, you say, aha. So if you really want to do an informative interview, ask me some questions that are really about the issue that you want to talk about.
Claiming that a person's argument is bad because they already knew how you would respond is not a good argument.
No.
It's actually a fallacy.
And the thing is if Jesse asked me that question, so do you have the mind of God or mind of Satan? I would say, well, the mind of God. And if he said, well, how do you know that? I'd say, because I read his word and I know what he says about himself.
Right.
But see, here's the thing. It's a weird question to throw out, right?
Yeah, no, it's weird.
But if Parker was a consistent person and he was truly a Christian, he could answer that coherently.
Oh, yeah.
He could say, well, not the mind of Satan, I hope.
Right.
And if I do have the mind of Satan anywhere in my life, I want that to be cast down and put under the lordship of Jesus Christ and be renewed by God's word. But Parker can't do that because he doesn't appeal to the Bible. So when he says, if I said I have the mind of God, you're going to say, how do you know that? Well, the answer of how do you know that is because we have this. Mm-hmm. We got this right here. We got his revelation right in front of us. That's how we know the mind of God.
What I understand, this isn't about, you didn't invite me. I'm here at your, I came here at your invitation without knowing anything about who you are and what your agenda is. And I didn't come here to have you openly scrutinize what you think my moral compass is. If you want to talk about abortion, if you want to talk about the right of women, you don't want to talk about that, we can end the interview, and I'm happy to have had this opportunity.
Let me just ask this, and then we'll move on. Do you believe that there's good and evil?
I absolutely do.
You do, okay.
Okay, so let's hang on that for 1 second. We're going to finish up in this last portion here. Do you believe there's good and evil? He says,
absolutely.
I absolutely do. So he absolutely believes
there's absolute.
That there's absolutes. Okay, that's okay. So there you go. Well, here we go. Ready?
Is it good to perform abortions or evil?
It's good to perform abortions when women seek them and they need them and they ask me to do it and I'm trained to do it and I provide it for them. Yes, it is good to provide
for the unborn child.
I don't know what an unborn child is. I know what a fetus is. I know what when you give birth, you become a child.
Is it good or evil for the fetus?
I know how to end
a person. Is it good or evil for the fetus?
I don't relate to life in terms of absolute good and evil. So.
Whoop.
Oh, no.
I just had to let that play through.
Oh, no.
I had to let it play through. So, first point, quickly. I don't know what an unborn child is. I know what a fetus is. Okay, great. Fetus is a Latin term. It refers to the newborn offspring of a creature. So, in relation to a human being, that would be a... drum roll.
Baby.
That's what it would be. Unborn child in the womb. It's a human being. You said it was a human being. So, there's that aspect. But then he says... yes, I absolutely do believe in good and evil. And then when is it good or evil for the baby? Good question, Jesse, by the way. Is it good or evil for the baby? I don't relate to life in terms of absolutes. Mm-hmm. And this is why the Bible says that unbelief is foolish. Mm-hmm. Foolish.
I want to know why he clarified. He said, I believe that abortion is good. If they want one and they come to me. Though it's enough. What's it called if you perform an abortion and the against a woman's will?
Murder.
Right. Right.
Like he had to clarify?
Yeah.
Oh, as long as they come to me,
right,
and ask for one.
Well, how about we just push that out a little more? If that's the fundamental basis, person who's properly trained in something, they're good at it, and a woman comes to you and says, I need you to do this for me. How about for the wife that hires an assassin to kill her husband? Now, women go to jail for that in our country still. A little inconsistent there. But what about the assassin? Is he doing a good thing? Because, well, he's trained for it. He's good at it. And the woman asked him, providing a service.
She needed it.
Providing a service. See, do you see the moral anarchy that we get into here and the complete brokenness of any meaningful ethical appeal? And this is Dr. Willie Parker. So I'll say this to you, Dr. Parker, if you get a chance to listen to this, we'll make sure people tag you in it. We will respect you on a stage in a public moderated debate. I'd like to have you defend your position in your book, that you have a moral argument for choice, and defend it however way you'd like to. We'll pay for everything. We'll pay for your flight. We'll pay for your hotel. We'll feed you well. We'll put you up in a nice, nice hotel. I will receive no pay, nothing. I won't take a penny for this debate, and we'll make sure that it's broadcast around the world. We'll give you equal time. We'll give you a 20-minute opening statement, opportunity for rebuttal. We'll allow cross-examination, closing statements. You will be uninterrupted in your opening and closing statement and in your rebuttals. We'll give you a chance to have the floor completely uninterrupted. And we'll do it in a scholarly format, again, with a moderator. And the moderator can be an atheist. How about that? We'll let the moderator be an atheist. Doesn't have to be anybody connected to our ministry. We'll just set everything up. So, Dr. Parker, there's the challenge for the second time. You backed out of the first challenge. This is the second challenge. Dr. Parker, have the courage to stand for your beliefs. Have the courage to stand up for what you do on a regular basis. Still, by the way, actively performing abortions. Mm-hmm. Still doing it.
Yep.
Travels from state to state. I think actually now he's staying in his own state now. But he was. And I did read in his book, if memory serves, he sees up to 50 women a day. I don't know how you do that, Dr. Parker. And I know something. If you're listening to this, Dr. Parker, I do want to say to you, I know that you can't escape your conscience. I know that you've had moments in your life where you've woken up on a wet pillow from sweat. And I know, Dr. Parker, that God's Spirit has testified to you of the evil that you are engaged in. I know there's been times in your life where you're pulling babies out of wombs and you're crushing their skulls and you're tearing their arms and legs from their bodies. I know that you've thought about the voice of your Creator. I know it. And my hope is that you would repent and come to Christ truly to know God and be forgiven of all of this sin. I would fear the day of judgment, Dr. Parker, where you stand before a holy God and there is a sea of witnesses. And there is a sea of witnesses in heaven. People that you have taken apart in the womb, testifying against you in God's court. God is a loving God, yes, Dr. Parker, but he is also a God who is a consuming fire. He is a holy God. He is a wrathful God against sin and wickedness. There is forgiveness in Christ, Dr. Parker. Repent and believe the gospel. And if not, at least have the courage to stand up for your convictions in a public debate format. That's the show for today, guys. Go check out the entire interview. Jesse Lee Peterson, Willie Parker. Need to listen to the whole thing, guys.
Yeah,
it is important. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to hopefully get back on Jesse Lee Peterson's show again here soon. And he did ask him some good questions that I think really good. So I am grateful that Jesse did this. And I'm glad.
I'm thankful for it for sure. So
yeah.
It exposed what we hope to expose.
Right. He did. Yeah. Areas of inconsistency, yeah. I think he'd done better, but
right.
I'm happy he did it.
Well, yeah, it kind of, well, in a human way, it kind of happened by mistake.
Yes.
And I don't know that he would have willingly gone on, so.
Right. I think that God allowed it to happen for us, for this episode. I like to think that.
I would really hope that he would be willing to talk to you.
Yeah.
And when, just to be clear, when you call him a coward for not speaking with you, it's not because you're so great and scary. You're just saying he doesn't have the fortitude to actually defend what he believes.
He said, and we played the audio from the voicemail on Next Week with Jeff Durbin. He said that he was looking forward to doing a debate like this, scholarly debate, where opposing ideas could be put out on a platform in front of people. He was looking forward to it. That's when he didn't know who he'd be debating, ultimately. And when he found out, he backed out. And so when I call you a coward, know this. I'm not doing it in a way that's cavalier. I'm not trying to be hateful and mean to you. I mean you're a coward because you go about the country preaching on this moral foundation and right you have to do what you do, and you preach against those who disagree with you, and yet you won't stand up in a scholarly debate to defend this position. When you found out who you'd be debating, you stepped away from the debate, and that says a lot about your ability to defend your position and about your integrity, because you committed to do it. And so I say, step away from that methodology, Dr. Parker, and let's get into a public debate. Again, let's do it in 6 months. Give you 6 months to prepare for it. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. We'll give you 6 months, 8 months to prepare for it. We'll take care of everything. Just commit to it, Dr. Parker. And I would say this. Anybody listening to this radio program right now, take the episode, share it, tag Dr. Parker in it so that Dr. Parker can hear the episode and we can start a conversation about that debate again. All right.
I was just going to say, too, real quickly, if you know, we kind of got into a little bit just more, but you start to see when he's, and this is why I mentioned, now I know why he won't debate you. If when he's starting, pushed into a corner a little bit where he has to answer. He either threatens to walk out or he'll flip the question.
Right.
And say, you tell me what you believe.
Right. And that's, he answers fallaciously. Yes. He do bad argument.
Every time he gets pushed where he has to respond to something, that's his response. And so that's why I think he better.
Yeah. There's no scholarship in shouting into the echo chamber.
Right. That's right.
So.
Yeah. And he is living in an echo chamber. That's for sure. So, all right. Luke the Bear.
Peace out, guys.
Joy the Girl.
See ya.
Thanks, Carmen, for being on the ones and twos. Hey, guys, go to ApologiaStudios.com. Help us to produce more content. Get all the additional content. And please continue to pray for us. God's doing big things. We have a big year ahead of us next year. We're very, very excited to do all this ministry, to herald the gospel, to defend the Christian faith, and to do it alongside you. So thank you all so much for everything you've done. Head on over to ApologiaStudios.com, guys. And we'll catch you next week. Hey guys, don't fast forward through this commercial. Important message for you guys. We're meeting at a new location for Apologia Church worship services. I'm Jeff Durbin, pastor at Apologia Church. Join us for worship 4 p.m. on Sundays.
We are a family integrated church. Sorry, do I introduce myself? They don't
know
who I am.
Yeah, you can say Joy.
I don't.
You
can cut this, so just talk about it.
Yeah.
But what do I do at the church? They're going to be like, that's one of those churches that has a lady pastor.
I want to keep this as a part of the commercial. I want you to leave this. Okay. All right. Luke.
This is Luke the Bear, discipleship pastor at Apologia Church. And the new location we're meeting at, like Jeff said, it's Tempe Vineyard Church. I think you said it was Tempe Vineyard Church.
No, I didn't.
You didn't, but that's okay.
You just did.
The address
okay.
is 1805 East Elliott Road, number 112. Tempe, Arizona, 85284. That is on the southeast corner of McClintock and Elliott. Bring your wives, bring your kids, and bring your husbands too, because we're teaching everybody up in here.
Bring your beards, if you got them. Or no. It's up to you.
I'll have mine.
All right, guys. That's our new commercial. I think it's professional. We'll see you at Apologia Church. Join us for worship.
ApologiaChurch.com.